Raj Subramaniar is an international keynote speaker, author, and tech career coach who helps people to land their dream job and become successful leaders. He has helped countless individuals discover their zone of genius and leverage it to live a life that they love. He is a sought-after speaker at various conferences and has been featured in numerous podcasts and publications, including Authority Magazine, Thrive Global, Addicted to Success, and The Good Men Project. He's also the author of the new book, Skyrocket Your Career. In his spare time, he loves traveling with his family and discovering new experiences, which includes craft beer. You can connect with him on LinkedIn, on Twitter at Epsilon11, or his website, www.rajsubra.com. Enjoy the listen. Hey, you're on the hot mic at Arch DevOps with Fritz. I'm here today with Raj Subramaniar, international keynote speaker, writer, and tech career coach. How are you doing today, good sir?
I am doing good. Excited to be here.
Well, I'm excited to have you. Man, it's a long time coming. I know we had got this on the books probably a couple, 2 or 3 months ago, and today's the day. And for the folks at home listening, here at the time of this recording is election day here in the U.S. So
right.
Who knows what's going to happen after this episode? I'm voting after this episode. Have you voted yet today?
Oh, yeah. I actually did the early voting, so I voted a couple of weeks ago via mail-in vote. So.
Oh, nice. Okay. Well, I procrastinated. I'm not going to lie about it. I waited. I waited till the last minute. I figured everybody else has voted already. It should be a short line, but I don't know. We'll see what happens.
I heard that the lines have been pretty quick in many regions, so hopefully it stays the same way for you. And yeah, as you said, today's election day, and a lot of things happening around us outside this podcast.
Yeah, there sure are. It'll be interesting to see how things shake off. But so tell us a little bit about what you've got going on, sir. You got a lot of irons in the fire. I'm kind of jealous because you're like the most interesting man in the world. But I know you listed yourself as like you're in the coaching space. So what do you do? How do you help people? Let's start there.
Yeah. So again, I'm Raj, and I'm tech career coach. What that means is I specifically help people in the tech industry to find their dream job and become successful leaders in the industry. So that's the main part of it. And I'm a techie guy. I've been in the industry for over 15 years. And over the past 15 years, I've taken up different roles from a software developer to a lead to a manager to a developer evangelist, which is a fancy name for a person who does R&D and speaks quite a bit about different things. Yeah. And then finally, for the past couple of years, I've been doing tech career coaching. So that's the main part of my business. But apart from that, I also do two other things. One is I speak at various conferences and for private events for companies. Mm-hmm. I have a variety of topics I talk about based on what they want, like AI, motivation, leadership, software development, software testing, productivity, you name it. I share my experiences pretty much in all these aspects. And finally, I love sharing my thoughts about different things related to software and human interaction and self-help related articles. So I write for a lot of publications, which is part of my passion. I also write for different tech companies as well. So it's like a three-pronged business, but I'm mainly a tech career coach, helping people in the tech industry get their dream job and become leaders. So that's me.
Nice. Man, that's exciting. I mean, so like how did you come about this? I mean, are you what you wanted to be when you grew up, or did you just sort of stumble into this? Like, what's the story?
Yeah, so I think for that, I think I should provide some context for your listeners, because right now, if people come to me and say, they usually tell me, wow, you're a great speaker. You're really funny. How can I become like you? I would say it takes 20 years of training to get to where I am today. So I didn't start off this way. I wasn't the person who immediately spoke in front of thousands of people. Right. I wasn't this person who can talk to anyone pretty much. I wasn't this person who does a lot of other things like writing a book and then writing for tech magazines and all these things I've not have ever imagined that I will be the person doing. Because I grew up in a really conservative Southern family in India, and I was the younger of the two kids. And since a young age, I always had this inferiority complex that I wasn't good enough because my dad was super smart. My brother was a genius. He has 3 masters and a PhD. And then there I was, the average Joe who didn't do well in academics, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And for those listeners who are Asians listening to this, you get it, because there's a lot of push when it comes to academics in the Asian community. And that's how I grew up in. So I constantly put pressure on myself to emulate other overachievers around me. Mm-hmm. And what that ended up doing to me was I ended up getting disappointed each and every time because I couldn't live up to people's expectations. And I was having low self-esteem, high self-doubt. I had severe body image issues because I grew up as a really fat kid and I was ridiculed for my weight. And so that was kind of my childhood experience. Mm-hmm. Then during my second year of my undergrad, I had this trigger event where I felt as if I was getting a heart attack, but apparently it was a panic attack. Mm-hmm. All these feelings of anxiety, stress, depression, fear of rejection, fear of not being worthy enough, all these things which had bottled up inside me kind of exploded one day. And for 2 hours, I was sobbing and I was tired of living such a life. So that's when I decided, you know what? I matter. I'm not dumb. I'm enough. I'm going to strive for greatness and I'm going to carve my own identity. That was the day when I declared power over my life. And since then, in the past 15 years, I tried so many different things to push myself out of my comfort zone. And I could give you a couple of examples in a bit. And eventually I got here where over the past 7-8 years, I was helping people to dig deep into what their passion is, what their interests are, and I was helping them to overcome their fears because I was a person who overcame fears and I shared my experiences. And over a period of time, a lot of people started getting positively impacted because of me helping them out. And that's when the seed to coach people to become the better version of themselves was planted, which was about 6 years ago, because I was leading team of 50 people. I was part of leadership roles, and all those experiences kind of boiled down to what I'm doing today right now, which is tech career coaching for the past couple of years. So that's kind of a really high level of how I kind of transformed my life from a shy introverted kid earning a minimum salary into an international keynote speaker, author, and tech career coach running a 6-figure business. It didn't happen overnight. Right. It was a lot of work, but it was totally worth it, though.
Man, that is dang encouraging, sir. I mean, you know, throughout all of that, it sounds like, you know, you had your epiphany, but you decided, hey, I'm going to give myself permission to live life on my own terms and not conform to everybody else's expectations. Because you're right, it can be stressful. And now, today, you're passing that legacy along. You're giving people permission to live life according to their terms and figure out what their strengths are. Dude, that is exciting. Kudos to you.
Thanks. Yeah, I think a lot of people are going through the same journey as what I did. Mm-hmm. They feel ignored. They feel like an outcast. They have a lot of fears inside them because society has deemed it that way. Mm-hmm. And they have labeled them a certain way, and they think they can never come out of it. And that's the kind of people I want to help, because I am an average guy. If I can change my life, anyone can do it. And that's why when I coach people, my clients are usually people who are in the mid to senior level stage of their career in the tech mm-hmm. industry, or people who are already leading teams, managers, VPs, who want to be even more successful leaders. Those are my clients. So for them, yes, I do talk about a lot of strategies. In fact, I talk about the strategies in my book as well. But it mainly starts with the mindset and belief system. That's where you need to start, because if you don't believe in yourself that change is possible, then no matter what another person does, it is not going to help you out. Because this is what I tell people. If you believe that you're worth only $50,000, then the way you show up, the way you react, the way you think, your actions are going to reflect a person who's earning $50,000. Mm-hmm. If you feel and think that and believe that you're worth $200,000, then the way you show up, the way you react, the way you think, and all your actions are going to reflect a person who's earning $200,000. So it all starts with the mindset and belief system. And of course, you have to face some adversities in life, and that's when you gain a lot of experiences to become the better version of themselves. Mm-hmm. But a reason I coach people is they don't have to go through all the adversities. Instead, I give them the golden nuggets of some things which they can overcome without having to face them. Mm-hmm. But some of the things they are going to learn only through personal experiences. Right.
Man. Well, I said it before and I'll say it again. You've got a really, really cool job. I'm curious what people come to you about. Like, if someone were to approach you and it's somebody that needs your help, like, what are some of the things that they would say? Like, what kinds of challenges do they come to you with? Can you share?
Yeah, sure. So it's pretty much like a common set of traits which I see in people who come to me. Mm-hmm. And those are the people who want me to help as well. Anyone who is at their forking point of their career and they're looking for guidance, or if they feel stuck in their career and whatever they're doing is getting unnoticed at work. Mm-hmm. Or if they're going through low self-esteem, high self-doubt, and they need motivation, or they want to transition into leadership roles because they know they have what it takes, but they just need some guidance. And finally, I get people who come to me to set themselves miles apart from the competition because they want to be outliers in their industry. They want to be someone who has their own brand and people know them by their credibility, their quality of work. And all those things can be established if you set yourself miles apart from the competition, and that's when things happen. So these are the people, these are usually the things happening in people's mind when they come to me. Because for me, for example, I came to the US in 2008, and I think the story also set some context. And I came on August 31st, 2008. And September 7th, 2008, Lehman Brothers fell, the biggest financial firm, and the recession started. Mm-hmm. And I was an immigrant. So getting jobs was so hard. And from the beginning of 2009 to end of 2009, I applied for 1,293 jobs, 1,293 jobs.
Oh my
and
goodness.
How many jobs how many callbacks I got from those applications?
Almost say zero, five.
That's a good guess. So I got 4 callbacks out of 1,293 jobs.
Oh my goodness.
And I converted 1 job out of that. And that too, it was not a full-time job, but it was an internship. Mm-hmm. And since then, I worked my ass off to prove to people that I am credible. I can differentiate my work from other people, and I can contribute positively to the team and the organization. And I've learned so many different strategies since 2010 timeframe. And those are the things I help people with as well in terms of different strategies, actual strategies you could follow in life to make that transformation, right?
Yeah,
it's right. About how my real life experiences can apply to their life as well. And then they could customize it based on their context. So to summarize what I was saying, it's basically the people in those 5 categories, which I was just mentioning about who come to me for help. And they've And all my clients have been through referrals because they know that they get value if they come to me. And in my last 7 companies, I was voted as a star performer in 5 of those companies, right? And again, I want to keep repeating, I'm an average guy, but I knew different strategies to differentiate my work from other people. And that's how I've increased my salary by 150% mm-hmm. since I started in IT. So those are the things which I coach people with as well.
Nice. Well, kind of going back to what you were saying before about the recession, and it's like, there's never a good time to have one of those, you know, I bet. Right. Did you feel like, oh man, I came to the US at the wrong time. Like, did you feel that for just a little bit? Like, you know,
oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Because I said, seriously, I take some big student loans, come to the US, and then shit has to go down right when I actually entered the US.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was hard. I'll be lying if I say everything was hunky-dory, but yeah, it was hard. And half of my class actually went back to their respective countries because half of my class were immigrants. But for me, yeah, basically there were only 2 options, right? One was either to go back or do whatever it takes and see what happens. Mm-hmm. So luckily I chose the second option, and that one decision I made in 2009 to stick around has done wonders for my life in terms of my personal transformation, career transformation, my life transformation, because I met my wife in the US as well. So it was a good decision overall, I should say.
Yeah. You know, it's amazing the amount of good things that can happen when everything's just chaotic. And even right now with the pandemic, it's like there's never a good time for that either. There's still so much hope. There's still so many opportunities for people. And it's neat. So let me ask you this. How much of what you know today did you apply, like when you made that decision, when you finally got that job, when you knew ways to like get in the company and show like, hey, you're an outlier. You're like a super mutant and you work a lot harder than people expect. Like, did you already know and have mastery of all the stuff that you have today? Or is that what kicked off the learning? Can you talk about that?
Sure. So 100% no, which is I didn't have mastery of all the things which I actually know right now, because everything was experimental and through trial and error.
Right.
But it all started with the mindset and belief system. As I was saying, I knew I had what it takes to make a change. I just didn't know what and how to do it. Mm. So I started saying yes to every opportunity that came my way. I started doing the work other people didn't want to do. Mm-hmm. And through this process of trying out different things and different strategies, that's when I found out, okay, this works. Oh, okay, this does not work. And over a period of time, some of the things which were working, I tried to make it better. And now those are all proven strategies, because it's worked not only in my life, but even other people's lives who I coach, who have shared these strategies with as well, right? So to answer your question, it wasn't mastery of all these strategies. And in fact, I didn't know most of it until I started opening up my mind to different things and pushing myself out of my comfort zone. Mm-hmm. A simple example is this. I think your listeners will find this interesting. One of my biggest fears in life was fear of public speaking. Mm-hmm. And it haunted me till 2011 for the first 26, 27 years of my life. And I saw this email for a software conference one day in 2011. And I just kept looking at it for 4 or 5 minutes because my mind was saying something and I was trying to listen to it. So I always wanted to keep facing my fears and try to get better. But this fear of public speaking is one of the things I wasn't able to conquer at all, because I still remember this. When I was in my 8th grade, I had this crush on a really pretty girl. It took me 3 weeks just to say hi to her, because every time I went close to her, I started sweating. I used to stutter. I used to gasp for breath. So yeah. I'm talking about that kind of fear of public speaking, right? Mm-hmm. Moving coming back to this 2011 story, so I decided, you know what, I'm going to go to the SAFRA conference, because one thing is, it's out of state and no one would know me, so I can openly communicate with people and I don't have the fear of being judged. Another thing is that a lot of these speakers, and I wanted to see how they speak and what it's all about. So I put $3,000 of my own money to go to a SAFRA conference. And for those of you who do not know, you don't pay your own money to go to a SAFRA conference. Either the company pays for you, or you go there as a speaker, which means the registration fee is waived, which is the bulk of the money. But I invested $3,000 because my company wasn't ready to sponsor me. There, I started interacting with different people. Then I saw good talks and some bad talks as well. It was good that I saw some bad talks, because that's what gave me this epiphany that, I've always been complaining to people that I'm afraid to speak up. I'm afraid of public speaking. What if I become a speaker? Yeah. And that's when the seed was planted. So I interacted with a lot of speakers, took notes. Then in 2012, I started speaking in small town meetup groups. Then in 2013, after 7 months and 23 trial runs, I gave my first conference talk, and it was a huge hit. Mm-hmm. And that paved my way to who I am right now, an international keynote speaker speaking in front of thousands of people. The reason I'm sharing this story is I took the chance to go to a SAFRA conference, again, keeping an open mind. And I had a belief system that I can change. I just didn't know how. So for people who are listening, if you want to explore your passions, if you want to find what your ideal career is going to be, keep an open mind and have a positive mindset, because this is a thing, you cannot control the circumstances around you, but you can control your actions under any circumstances. So if you keep that in mind, I think transformation is possible for a lot of people.
Wow. You know, I was going to ask a follow-up question, and I had to chuckle a little bit, because it sounded like, you know, one of the things that helped you decide to be a speaker was you said you saw some bad speakers, and it's like, well, I can do better than that guy. I mean, come on, right? And it's like, that's pretty encouraging, and we're often our own worst critic, you know? And my follow-up question was going to be, you know, originally, like, what kinds of people would you say no to? Like, if they were to come to you and you'd be like, nah, you're not really a good fit. But I mean, you summed it up perfectly at the end. If somebody has the belief that they can change, that they can figure things out, they can trust their minds to solve challenges and be willing to make those changes, I think that's, you know, if they don't have that, that's probably a disqualifier right there. I mean, are there other things that you would say no to, or what?
So I believe your question is more related to what type of people I work with and how do I know they are ready to change, right?
That would be
a good summary.
Yep.
Yeah, of course, there's now a blueprint or a checklist of how you actually screen people. Mm-hmm. But one thing is just by talking to people for 30 minutes or even 15 minutes for the matter, you can figure out how bad they want change. And the simplest sign to know whether they need change or not is they would say, I want to do this, I want to do that. I would say, why do you think you want to do this, right? And they may give me some reasons. And then if I say, okay, so we are going to work on these things, and how much is going to cost for you, right? Then they would say, you know, I don't know whether I have that much money right now, because I just want this part of the coaching. So when they start bargaining with you, that's when you know that, okay, they're still not ready for change. Because when you want change, when you want things so bad, you have to be ready to invest in yourself. For example, I have a business coach. I have a writing coach. I also have a speaking coach. That's because I constantly invest in my self-development. And you have to pay some price for having change. And when people come to me and then they start saying, okay, they're not ready to invest in themselves. So that is the number one red flag where they're still not ready yet. Second thing is, they say, okay, I want to do this, I want to do that. And when I ask why, then they'll start saying that, no, I think this what is going to give me more money, or because another person is doing it and I also have to do it. And then I'll ask that follow-up question saying, hey, based on what you're saying, you said, you, for example, they would say, I hate programming. Then they'll want to become a technical architect. Then I would say, you know, probably being a technical architect is not what you may want, because based on what you said, you'll be a good product manager, or you could be a good project manager, right? And if they're not listening to what I'm saying, then that's another red flag that it's going to be really hard to coach. Because yeah, there's the saying, right? You could you cannot take the horse, you could take the horse to the pond, but you cannot make it drink. It's the exact same thing. So those are the two red flags when people are not ready to invest in themselves and they are not listening to what I'm saying, because if they start arguing with me, again, there's no point arguing with me because I'm trying to help them out. But if they're not listening and not taking the cue, that means it's going to be really hard. So those are my two easiest filtering systems. But most of my people, as I was saying, are through referrals. So already the clients who I trust and who I've worked with for the past year and a half, they refer someone of the same caliber and same mindset. And that makes my life a lot more easier. But it's not to say that once in 2 days, I still get calls via LinkedIn saying, hey, can you hop on a call? And I do hop on a call most of the times. But yeah, this is what, those two things are pretty much my red flags in if they're ready for change or not.
Yeah. Well, folks at home that are listening, you know, if you want to get with Raj, don't fight with the guy, okay? Because he knows his stuff. I'm convinced of that. And we've only been talking for 30 minutes. Well, how would people reach out to you? Like if they wanted to engage you, would they, do you have an email, website, like what?
Sure. So on my life's work is on my website, which is rajsubra.com, rajsubra.com. But the best way to reach me is via LinkedIn. I'm literally there 24/7 on LinkedIn because that's my jam. So if anyone wants to reach out to me or want to ping me, make sure you follow me on LinkedIn and message me on LinkedIn, because I'm super active there. And of course, another thing I wanted to mention was I just released a book about career advancement as well. So of the strategies which I just mentioned, if you think that was useful or that piqued your interest, definitely go check it out. It's called Skyrocket Your Career, and the website is skyrocketyourcareerbook.com. There, you're going to find a lot of actionable items as well. So if you don't have the time or money to invest by working with me, at least you can look at the book and find different strategies to find your dream job, be successful in it, and transform yourself into a rock star. So that's how you can get with me.
Nice, man. Sounds like you got a lot of different ways to influence people. Well, I'm glad we got the chance to chat finally. I know it's, like I said, it's been a long time coming. I know we got this on the books like 2 or 3, maybe 4 months ago, and we're finally here. So I'm glad we got the chance to meet. I wish you all the best, all right?
Yeah, thanks for having me. It was a pleasure sharing some of my experiences and insights with your audience. And I'll be following your work. And just love to network with people.
All right, same here. Well, I'll bounce here and I'll let you get back to the rest of your day. And hope your wife is doing fine. And I hope she gets home at a decent hour, all right?
Yeah, just to give some context, my wife is actually volunteering for the elections. So she is safe, but she's going to come back really late at night because it takes a lot of time.
Yeah, well, have some food and wine ready for her or something like that. Wives love that sort of thing, all right? that's my professional advice as a married man.
That's sound advice from a family man, from a fellow family man like me, so yeah.
Oh, man, I love it. All right, man, well, take care of yourself, all right?
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Did you hear this episode and go, wow, I'm a founder and all my friends keep telling me I should get on a podcast? Would I be a fit? Yes. Yes, you would. Every single person who steps out of their comfort zone to build their dream has an amazing story to share. And this is the platform for you to do that. If you want to talk about your dream, what led you to start your endeavor, what successes you've had or challenges you've been pitted against, this is the podcast for you. So head on over to archdevops.com/podcast to find out how to get on. And also check out our free tip sheets on guesting or even hosting your own podcast. This is Fritz, your host, hoping to meet you on the other side of the hot mic at Arch DevOps.